Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Hello. Okay, we have some.
Are you able to hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, evening.
Okay. Hello, it's Courtney. Are you guys able to hear me? Okay.
Yes, baby, we hear you fine.
All right.
Okay, well, good evening, everyone. Ramadan Mubarak. And hello or good evening to all of our listening audience here on the Blog Talk Radio program. My name is Sister Joy, and I would like to welcome each of you to our broadcast, sponsored by the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association. Our Blog Talk Radio show can be heard throughout the U.S. as well as several other countries. We invite you to join us each Wednesday evening to listen as well as participate in our discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, for right now, muting your phones because we're getting some feedback, and we will move this thing on as hastily but informatively as we possibly can. You're invited to join us each Wednesday evening to listen as well as participate in our discussion. Hey, join us by calling 657-383-1372. 657-383-1372. Or you may join us via internet by going to Blog Talk Radio, one word, /NABASSC. Also, you may contact us by email at newafricaba@gmail.com, or feel free to call one of the brothers, Belial or Aziz, at area code 202-903-9278, or area code 301-234-9090. That's 234-9090. With that being said, I would have any questions or future shows or anything you may else like to find out, you're welcome to contact either Brother Belial or Brother Aziz. Dun, 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 dun. Drum roll, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we are excited this evening. I mean, we are very excited because we are expecting to promote some local talent this evening and even highlight an event that is coming to a city somewhere near you in the coming weeks. One of those cast members will be with us later on this evening, and she'll share with us what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish. Also, in keeping with our discussion, we haven't forgotten, building our community, a major, as we already know, a major component of any culture is being able to express ourselves. So tonight we're going to have the young lady who will come in and give us this cultural spirit experience that I hope will give everyone a lift. At the same time, brothers and sisters, we also have our other co-host who will be sharing the microphone with us this evening before we go to open mic. And we have with us Mr. Sam Harris. He is a developer out of the state of Florida. He will share with you or us some of the things that he's doing as well as some of his concerns. And one of the concerns, and he had called a little earlier to let me know about the Selma Project. Brothers and sisters, I mean, I understand. I do. But if we can do anything, it's time for us to try to, you know, best foot. We also have with us Dr. Eartha Stone and her guest, Mrs. Kimberly Mejia. And she will come to us this evening, hopefully, if she's with us, and update us on that big event that she attended there in Washington, D.C., with the NFL players. So coaches and whomever else attended, we are more than interested in her sharing information with us. And at the same time, we have with us our educational consultant, Mrs. Bernice Swan. So ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I will start. Sister Stone, are you with us?
Happy afternoon. Yes, Ms. Joyce, I'm here.
I love this lady. Good evening, Dr. Stone, and I'm going to turn the introductions over to you. So was Kim able to make it?
I spoke with her briefly earlier.
If not this week, maybe another.
But I think
will you just share some of the information that, you know, what you're doing there in Houston with us so that, you know, we'll know that everything's everything and that life is just moving right along.
Well, we are still working on our project, getting it up and going. It's been a lot of nevertheless, a door has been open and looks like we're going to be able to move forward. But I want to address the ladies of the team, the daughters of Zion that's with us this afternoon, Beverly Simon, Patricia Davis, Deborah Gaspard, Kim Mejia. Those ladies, I'm pretty sure, are on the call tonight. And kudos to you, Ms. Joyce. Thank you. And Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, thank you guys for having us on the call on tonight. Brother Sam Harris, looking forward to meeting you face-to-face really soon. Beloved, this is a great opportunity and a great season for each and every one of us, those that have initiatives to life like those. In spite of the pandemic that's still moving and granting us grace, giving us favor, and blessing us with the finances that we need in order to move forward. Now, Kim Mejia, have you made it to the call? Are you on the call tonight? If you are, please unmute yourself. She was on with a contractor earlier, and I will text her, Ms. Joyce, and see if she can come on. And from my understanding, she had a great outcome in D.C. and was very, very productive.
Very good.
And if she
makes it on, Sister Stone, we would love to hear from her. But and you just let us know when she does join, or would Patricia or anyone have anything to say at this time? The other daughters of Zion?
Okay, Patricia, unmute yourself and just let everyone hear your voice. How about DeAndrea? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
We are doing secondary employment.
Also, awesome. Now, who do we have the pleasure of addressing?
Hey,
Mr. Harris.
This is Brother Harris. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Okay. Awesome.
Yes, we're
going to
move right along, Sister Stone. Like I said, if they come on, they are more than welcome to join us and say hello. But
all right.
Were you? Did you have anything else to add, or because we're anxious to hear from Mr. Harris And you will be very knowledgeable or anxious to hear what he has to say as well, because he was very concerned when he called us earlier. Because I was going to say, Brother Harris, while we are getting this culture this evening to hold our heads up, we need to hear from your economic report how we can keep our heads up. So, Sister Stone, if you don't mind, I'm going to allow Brother Harris just to jump right in and share with us this information, because this is news we can use, because the brother said they're buying up Selma. So while we're sitting around trying to anticipate how we're going to make these things happen, those folks are buying Selma up. So, Sister Stone, we're going to come back to you, but right now let us hear from you, Brother Harris.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sister Williams, Sister Stone. You guys are a treasure, our community, and we want to just thank you for everything that you're doing. The economic news for our community, and to update people what's going on. For almost 2 years now, we've been on the New Africa Black Belt District talking to our community about buying properties up. I got a call about 2 hours ago. We have groups that are coming in from other places from around the world buying up property in Selma, Alabama. And for all of those that are on this call, we know the impact of what Selma means not only to us but to our ancestors. We have been calling for people to join the movement, not only to buy property in Selma, but cities like Tulsa, Elizabeth, North Carolina, places like Chicago, D.C., all over the country. But the reason why Selma is so important, it is ground zero for economic opportunity and prosperity for African-American families to be able to build generational wealth. Because when we get it right in Selma, is the blueprint. We can take that blueprint to any other city that looks like our communities used to look, so that we can come back and revitalize it by having economic development, high growth entrepreneurship, technology. So just to update the community, today in Selma, Alabama, a group came in and bought 75 houses adjacent to Craig's Air Force Base. They bought 75 homes. Here's why they bought the homes. Selma just signed a contract with two major airlines for Craig's Air Force Base to be the hub to train new pilots, to train new technicians, and also to be the feeder system for athletics to travel throughout the country. Selma will become the stop that they will make on a long journey when they're traveling to play football games in Alabama with the University of Alabama, so that they can shorten their travel distance. What that means for us as African Americans, if we're owners of it, we're going to do really well. But unfortunately, the call that we've been asking, we have not been getting the response that we need from the community for us to practice group economics. There's three things I want to point out here, and then I'll give the mic and the floor back to Sister Williams or answer any questions that anyone has. Number one, over the next 5 years, the federal government is going to pour almost $50 to $100 million into Selma, Alabama. Currently, right now, Selma, Alabama, it is on sale still, but the prices are rising. We're asking for people to join us, invest into either allowing us to be the developer of a project that you can benefit from so that we can create the blueprint and go to other cities. So I want, for anyone that is on, here's a website that you can go to learn about the project. It's called investinselma.com. If you go to that website, you can not only see the projects that we're working on, there are a lot of new exciting things that we're bringing to the market. So we need for us to invest in Selma today. Doesn't matter how much you have, because we have a group of young people that at the University of Delaware, they have a play that they're getting ready to put on, a performance. That performance is something that needs to continue. In order for that performance and for those young people to have the opportunity that they have today in the future, we have to invest and own our community and own the block so that we're creating more high-growth entrepreneurs so that we can one day have our own amphitheater that we own and control so that when those young people from the university, like the University of Delaware, they can come to our facilities and utilize that, and it creates economic opportunity and prosperity for our communities. Number two, when it comes to John Lewis, there is a movement for the bridge to be renamed in the Senate, in the state of Alabama, and also in Congress. What that is doing for anyone that is a contractor or developer, it is putting you in the driver's seat of new opportunities. Right now, because of this legislation that is being pushed, there are new highway systems, there are new infrastructure, new broadband, new housing project opportunities from the HUD, from the Secretary of HUD, Marja Fudge. They're pushing for more African-American developers to be leading projects. So if you don't have any contact with your local state representatives, you need to get in contact with them. Tell them to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, because that brings a whole new opportunities for us as a community. And here's the last thing. I am encouraged by what I see. There is a report that came out about 2 weeks ago talking about the state of African Americans in the United States. We have created more millionaires in our community in the last 15 to 20 years than we have ever seen in 400 years. What that means is that the demographics are changing. Our families moved away from the South looking for opportunities because they were denied opportunities. As our families are moving back to the South, they need infrastructure. They need a place to stay. They need businesses to go to. We're going to create more millionaires in the African-American community over the next 6 to 10 years than we have seen in 2-3 generations. That is going to happen, but it will not happen for those that just listen and talk. We need for people to act. Right now in this country, there is more money in the streets than I've ever seen. There's more opportunities than I've ever seen. Unfortunately, we're not getting our fair share, not because it's not possible, not because we can't do it. It's only because we, as a group, collectively, are not working together. The Jewish community can pull together. They can rally behind Ukraine, and they put $100 million together to send over support, not only for the people that are there, but to bring people here and to house them, to give them jobs and opportunity. So when they come here, they're going to already have money to go to work with. The Asian community, they do the same thing. They bought properties all over this country. There's a Chinatown in almost every state, city you go to. They own and control the entire block. There is nowhere in America that I know of that is an African-American-owned community where we own 6 to 10 city blocks. We used to, but in today's environment, I hadn't seen it. It hasn't been something that people that I deal with that have been around a lot longer than I have, that they haven't seen it since the early 60s. We have a opportunity and we have an obligation. If we want to do and see better for our communities, we have to make a commitment not only to work together, we have to invest into our community, and we have to be engaged at every level. So, Sister Williams, Sister Stone, I want to thank you for all that you're doing I'm open for any questions that people have about some of the things that we're doing in Selma and other places. But I'm just elated to be on this call, and I look forward to answering any questions.
Thank you very much, Brother Harris. And ladies and gentlemen, are there any questions at this time or comments? Or
well, this is Queen Ella Woods. How are you doing this evening,
ladies
and women of God and daughters of Zion? And to my brother, Sam Harris, and on behalf of our brothers that are in Ramadan, Elder Bynum and Brother Aziz, I appreciate the being on the call this evening. I'm glad I got on tonight. I had an opportunity to meet Sam Harris and his wife, beautiful BJ, and their two children, son and daughter, and was there for the Selma March. And he is so correct. I wish I knew what I know now, but I have been working on some projects with my team, and they are literally excited. I wanted to see if I had a gentleman that I can get on the phone, because we also found a town in Tennessee called Mason that the comptroller is getting ready to come in and take the city, and it's 89% African-American. And we're left, these people were left with a debt. But to add on to what our brother Sam was speaking about, we have talked so much, but we have not been active in basically participating in what they have here. And I remember starting out with the group back about a year or two ago almost, and we were at that time looking at the centennial. You know, there's so much work that needs to get done right now. And we're creating millionaires for other people, like the Asian people. We're creating millionaires for them, the Indians with the hotels. We need to be owning real estate right now. I am participating with them.
And Sister Woods, we do want to hear from you as well as your guest. But at the same time, I'm sure Sister Swan is looking forward to getting her her time in, as well as we have a play that's coming to your to the coast there down the state there in our little neck of the woods. And this may be something
I'm in Atlanta right now. I'm going to go ahead and relinquish back to you, so I apologize.
We're being inclusive, but we just want to have it in order. Are you with me?
Yeah, I understand.
So please hang in here with us, because we want to hear what the brother has to share with us, as well as yourself. But at the same time...
No, I don't have a guest right now that's going to be
If he comes on, let us know.
Okay. Well, you were asking, did anybody have? Well, I'm adding in with what Sam has spoke about. Because, that was it. Just because we do. And I'm going to be working with his team. As a matter of fact, I'll have my real estate license in Alabama soon. And I'm bringing money towards him so that we can work on his project. He was wanting to also add that they're needing, they're wanting people to invest.
No, but that is wonderful news, and I'm sure Mr. Harris and brothers Bilal and Aziz, as well as the whole New Africa Business Association, along with Black Belt Wall Street, is just happy to have you on the line, and as well as myself, and trying to do the little that I can to contribute, because it's like the brother said, it's time. It's time isn't coming. The time is now. So either it's like old folks used to say, it's time to put up or shut up. But it's no shut up. Find a way. Make something happen. Pop something. We do it all the time. But no.
Well, he needs money is what he's talking about,
together.
And investors.
And it's time for us to dig deep and see what we can do to help ourselves.
Right.
Not just Mr.
Right.
Harris,
it's time.
But to help ourselves and building. The theme of this discussion is building our community. So the word is building community, but the operative word in there is our. So if we're going to do this, we're going to do it together, and it will be our community. And with that being said, Mrs. Swan, we would like for you as our educational consultant to come on and share with us some of the information that you would have before we bring on Miss Brown to tell us all about her amazing play. And I don't know, Mr. Harris, if this play you were speaking of from the University of Delaware, if this is the same or if there's another, but we can promote them all. But, Sister Swan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I hope I'm off mute. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My part that I am contributing in building our community is from an educational standpoint, which we discussed last week, and, of course, continuing from that perspective. It's very encouraging to hear what I'm hearing, of course, from Sam, and I'm waiting very much to hear from Sister Woods in a continuance of that aspect of building the community. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to hearing from both of you some more with that. But as I said, Maude, is from an educational perspective, since I am a teacher. Of course, last week, to reiterate, some of the things that I discussed was how we have to start with self. And, of course, we have to realize that in starting with self, we each have to set an example of what we want our community to look like. And, of course, that would involve... I thought someone had a question. Did someone have a question?
No, I need to mute.
I heard someone, I thought they were asking me a question. That would start, of course, with what we're doing in our own homes, what we're doing with our own lifestyles, what we're doing in the acquaintances that we choose to be associated with, and also the associations themselves. What are we involved in? What we're involved with our outreach. And, of course, we've talked very well tonight and last week, what is our focus? What are our goals as a community? And what is the mindset of the individuals in that community? What are the intentions that has already been touched upon? Sam is doing an excellent job of giving us that encouragement. Now, I want to talk about the village, as I did last week, versus community. And I say that because our village is no longer the traditional village. It has changed. Our village now deals with more and more a change in values, a change in our morals, a change in cultural diversity. There was a time when our village pretty much resembled the people, a specific ethnic group within that village. But now as times have changed, you don't have that. It's very diverse. And so we have to consider that as we have our goals in mind of what we want to see and do and be. Once we get out of the idea of the materialism behind our goal setting, we probably will advance much faster. It's good to hear, as was said earlier, how the millionaire community is in the black community is rapidly increasing. But that is not going to be the norm. And so we have to deal with the ordinary, everyday person while applauding those who reach the heights of economic security and development. But if we deal with the regular people, the community becomes strong because then we're dealing with reality. I want to also talk about how too often we are falling apart because there's selfishness that creeps in on what the community or what the village is trying to develop. So we, as we have said already, we have got to learn to work together. I did want to point out, let me see, there was something I wanted to say in terms of how we, what we are not, not expecting somebody else to do what we each can be doing. Sometimes we're looking for a leader. Where are our leaders? The leader is you. No matter how great or small your efforts, you are the leader. And what you are doing positively for the community. It's not politicians. It's not local leaders. It's not the schools and their teachers and their administrations or boards or whatever. Others are doing all the hard work if you are not putting in your share of the hard work. And I had a little quote last week. If everybody says somebody is able to do what anybody can do, then nobody is going to get the job done.
Uh-huh.
So everybody has to put in their small effort for the greater effort to be accomplished. Another thing I wanted to bring out, because I really appreciated last week what Brother Aziz said he eventually wants to see us talk about. And I planted that in my head, and I know it goes just a little off from what we're talking about tonight, but I wanted Brother Aziz to know he hit a very strong point. And he said the psychological warfare that is going on in the black community is taking its toll. And I'll repeat, Brother Aziz said the psychological warfare that is going on in our community, probably more unknown and unnoticed than noticed and known, but is taking a serious impact on the community. And he brought out, what images are we setting for ourselves? How is the media affecting our lifestyles and our thinking and our morals and our culture? What negative information is being fed to us, either overtly or covertly, but negative information is giving a psychological warfare to creep in on our community. And there is finally too much hate that goes on in the African community, and hate very often meaning the old crab in the basket kind of thing. When you see a person achieving, do you push them over to go to greater heights, or do you pull them back down again? So those are some topics, too, that all relate to the strength of a community. And we must keep in mind, not everybody is going to want to be a part of it for whatever reason. Not everybody's going to want to be a part. I know one of my favorite slogans is, you will move faster when you stop pushing the guy who doesn't want to go along with the program. Some people are just not going to be interested. Stop trying to pull them along. They don't want a part of it for whatever reason. And then another slogan that I want to share tonight is, there are four main bones in every organization, in every effort. You have the wishbones, wishing somebody else would do something about whatever it is that you are faced with. Then you have the jawbones. The jawbones do all the talking, but nothing else. Then you have the knuckle bones. The knuckle bones are going to knock everything you're trying to do. And then you have the backbone, and that is those who carry the load, and they do all the work. So in building that community, look out for all of those kinds of people and move with those who have positive thinking. Another presentation that I have made, and of course that's going to be ongoing on the radio cast, I'm going to be dealing with the education of our black children. And very briefly, I'll give you a slight outline of where I will be going with that as the weeks progress. In education of our black children, we must begin with the parents. The parents will be and always will be the primary teacher of a child. Formal education means nothing if you have weak parenting. Then the next move will be to extend that care into family members that are trusted. You must have trust in that family member, trust in the friends that you're choosing, trust in your associates that are going to be around your child. And then you will have the community as your next step. You have to approve those who are going to be your community affiliations and affiliates. Then you're going to have to be very cautious about your caregivers to your children and the facilities that they are in. Next will be the educational environment, the teachers, the principals, administrators, paraprofessionals, specialists, counselors, all of the above. But notice how they come far down the spectrum in dealing with what that child is going to be. Clergy is going to be in place. The role models, who are you hanging with? And who are you allowing your children to hang with? And then we go into the businesses, personal businesses and persons in business. Expose your children to that. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, government personnel, artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and other organizations. But I'll be talking about that extensively in terms of this wonderful community, these wonderful streets, and so forth that we are going to build. Make sure that when we build them, we are incorporating these things that I've said. I will stop talking now because I know we have many other wonderful guests who are going to speak. But thank you for the time, and I so much appreciate the opportunity to share what I know is going to be a beautiful outlook for the black community. Think positive, be positive. It's going to happen, and we all know from how I tell you all the time, God has already said it's going to happen, and he's never lied.
Well, honey, and he never will. And we thank you, Mrs. Swan, for that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presentation. And we will have to take, like you said, one bite. What they say, like, how do you eat an elephant? You have to take that bad boy one bite at a time. So we will look forward to discussing or having those discussions that you were speaking of earlier. And Miss Brown, honey, just hang in here with us one a little while longer, because I would love for our sponsors, if they're available, Brothers Bilal or Aziz, before you break your fast, if you have anything to add or say or contribute. They may have already gone, but perhaps they may join us in the next hour. If not, then we will continue on. Yes, as I had spoken to you guys about earlier, as a part of our culture, and culture is a major part of any society as well as what we're building, a community. With that in mind, I will bring these young brothers and sisters, and Miss Brown would be more than happy to tell us about them. We wish them much success. But let's see who they are and what we can do to assist them. Miss Brown, are you with us?
I am here. Can you guys hear me okay?
I do appreciate your patience. And if you will share with us who you guys are, the name of your play, I want to bring it to us, and maybe share with us also some of the other plays that you've performed in. Just whatever you want to, however you want to bring it to us. We'll appreciate it.
Absolutely. I just want to first say thank you for bringing me onto this wonderful, wonderful platform. Those who were before me, I was like, oh, I'm outside enjoying this wonderful weather. I wish I had a notebook taking down all these nuggets because they're so important, and that's kind of what we do, right? We want to enhance the human condition, right? We want to empower each other, our brothers and sisters, and we want to, you know, make sure everyone has a piece of joy every day, no matter, you know, educators and everything. We want to the world. We want to make sure the world has what it needs to have that piece of joy every day. So I just want to say my kudos to everyone involved in this platform, and just thank you so much for being here. But yeah, my name is Courtney Brown. I'm a Delawarean, born and raised in Delaware. Always loved the theater from, you know, high school, from elementary school on up. I am now starring in the hit play that we brought to Delaware for our first time on tour, If You're Dirty, Take a Bath. And the play is basically about, you know, you have a group of people who are in the wrong place. They end up in a shelter and you see their lives and the turmoil and things that they go through. And the dirt part is our sins, the things that we hold on to. And then we're cleansed. We learn to be cleansed every day with our bath, as you will, and just be anew every day. So
okay.
As you see the lives unfold. Hello, is that okay? Can you guys still hear me?
Yes, we got you.
Okay. So as you see their lives unfold, you see, you know, the things that they were ashamed of coming into the light and then repenting them, and then, you know, here we have a great soundtrack with it and just a lovely variety of actresses and actresses from all over. Normally I do a lot of my productions out of Philadelphia, but we're in Delaware. Some of our actors are from D.C., Maryland, Philadelphia, so all around the D.C. area. So it's really a diverse storyline. I love the script, and we want to just be able to bring it to not only Delaware, but to other cities as well.
Very good. And your name of your production is If You're Dirty,
the
Take a Bath.
The name of the production is, yeah, so if You're Dirty, Take a Bath. And I have tickets, but if you wanted to go on Eventbrite, it's takeabath@eventbrite.com. And we have general seating and VIP. We have the VIP is dinner. You get a meet and greet with the cast and crew. You get a thank you token. And you get front row seating and, you know, and the red carpet treatment. So we just,
excellent.
You know, when everybody...
Now, this production,
gets,
it will take place on May 7th. Is that a one-time showing, or will that be a more than one production?
Yeah, so it's May 7th. It's
right.
Saturday before Mother's Day, so it's Mother's Day weekend. We just have the one showing on that day, but we will be adding more show dates going forth.
Well, sisters and brothers, I would like for us to do what we can in the area. Those in the Delaware, Maryland, Virginia areas, if we could come together. And this will be Mother's Day weekend, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this will have an opportunity in good old Sussex County to have a dinner theater performance. Now, I haven't lived in Delaware in a very long time, and especially Sussex County. But I can guarantee you that's something that doesn't come to town every day. So, Ms. Brown, if you don't mind, we're going to see if others may have questions, and also to see about next week, if perhaps we could have someone from, like, your producer, your director, who would come on and explain to us more about the play wherein we can feel the seats. Because, you know, as a child, we went to that movie theater. And during that time, we all had to go to the balcony. So now we're looking at trying to feel every seat with the balcony overflowing. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions for Ms. Brown as it pertains to her production or other plays she may have performed in, maybe some of the people who are in the play, and if you have had an inkling of being on stage or doing something with a production company, and all of it is not acting. Someone has to strike the set, set the set, and there are other things to do in a production studio. So if you've had some interest in those type things, I may have my nephew. Billy, are you with us? We have another, hopefully, Delawarean here on the phone, Courtney, who's doing some of the same things that you're doing. And I was hoping that he could come on here and maybe share some of the stuff that he's been exposed to, and we may can get something going on. So we'll give him a few moments, and we'll come back.
Ms. Williams, my grandson will not be able to join us because he is also in rehearsals until 8 o'clock to 8:15. And so he says that's when he would be getting home, but he understands that he will be in touch. He's got the last of his major productions done there in New Jersey, and so he's busy until he gets home at 8 to 8:15. But I just want you, Ms. Brown, to know he will be in touch with you. Things are going well for him. He got a fellow there in New Jersey, and he is really doing a good job with them. So I just wanted you to know that he can't be on because of their rehearsals for their last production.
Amen, absolutely. Thank you so much for letting us know that. My my crew would love to be there as well, but we are too in rehearsal. But I just had to get on here and just spread the good, you know, gospel and love to those, and next week I will be able to bring a couple of my castmates on here too to continue on the conversation. But yes, definitely, we want to, you know, we want to continue to enhance the human condition. The art is still my life, breathing very well. I love every part, as Ms. Williams says. There's, we have different avenues, whether it's marketing or setting up set or props, and or if you have, you know, directing, or you know, you just want registration, things like that. So there's different avenues that we can surely use other gifts that
excellent
way. So I'm glad that we're able to combine and use each other as resources, because I love it. I have a passion for the arts. I wrote the past, and I just want to just continue going and just bring it however I can.
Well, that's wonderful. Also, I think my dear sister, you had spoken about, you know, you were teaching there at Camp Calloway, and I think Courtney said that she was just across a few buildings away from you with the school she was attending or working. And Courtney, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we were actually in the same building. I worked at the charter school in Wilmington for about 7 years. I left there 2018, I believe. Maybe 17. But yeah, my sister graduated from CAB in 2000, and I miss listening to the piano and the vocals in the hallway and the productions. So now that I'm able to teach at Warner Elementary 3 days a week through the Christian Intercourse Art Center in Wilmington, Delaware, I'm able to bring the art to the students, and hopefully next year we'll be able to put on a production and just showing our inner city kids that they too can be a part of such a great, because a lot of times their looks are over, and they haven't, you know, been able to embrace such schools as CAB Calloway. So just giving them that other outlook that they too can be on the stage, or whatever gifts they may have, we're able to heighten that and bring it to life.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Ms. Brown, well, I know you're busy. You probably need to get over there and rehearse your line. So we're going to thank you for your time and your participation, and we look forward to speaking with you guys and some more of your cast members on Wednesday of next week. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will turn this part of the show back over. Sister Woods, are you still with us?
Thank you. I love you all. Good night.
Yes. Love you, baby. Take care.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you so much. I'm still here. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I've been a little bit distracted. I've got so much going on, some young ladies I'm working with, and, you know, it's not easy representing Black Wall Street out here in the real estate sector. So it's a lot we're about to do and some programs we're putting on in New Jersey, but I'll wait and put that. But I did want to get back to if Sam is on the phone. Is he still on the line? Do you know?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Okay. What I was wanting to share, because I did have an opportunity to visit Selma and see exactly what they already had, and I wanted to kind of give a little update, because like he's in real estate, I've been in the profession for 20 years myself next year. So when you're looking at the real estate side now, when they start coming in like that, buying the real estate, that means that the Caucasian people are looking. So values start going up. So Sam knows they have a project that they did across the street from where his team has bought some buildings, including a hotel. Can I share a little bit, Sam?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. They bought a hotel and a coffee shop. I mean, the town's like a ghost town, okay? So to think that now, after we've had the march, and, of course, I'm out there representing Black Belt, Black Wall Street, plus Harris's, and I'm sharing, you know, about come visit, you know, the Harris's. You know, we're Black-owned, and, you know, that we've got some projects we want to do. Well, guess what? They were out there, too, looking. And I'm not sure if that group that bought the 75 was Black, but it should have been, because like he said, he's been on here for 2 years. And we're going to watch things happen. The government does not have a problem with bringing those Ukrainians here to America to develop a whole other race of people called whites, okay? And if we don't step up, we're going to miss out again. I thank God for our sister that's an educator on here, because she always brings some good information regarding educating our youth. If we don't start, like the Bible said, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, I will truly follow my brother Sam Harris, because not only is his wife with him, but his children are with him. And when you see a man of that status and to be able to have his family there, because if he can't trust nobody, he knows he can trust his family, because he's raised them as a man. And I appreciate what I was able to not only see but glean, and I'm participating with them. We're going to bring money to the table. Since we're on this call, he's looking to build a consortium so we can actually pool our money together. Of course, consortiums can start with small numbers, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, because he said there was houses down there for $5,000. We don't know nowhere in America where it's like that. But if we don't hurry up with them buying 75 houses, those are what you call those little companies that we see out here when you're looking at all these management companies popping up all over the United States, because they're getting a whiff of our communities, right? Because there's a lot of ghost towns out here. And if we don't step in as Black Belt, Black Wall Street, and the New African Business Association, we're going to miss out. And, you know, God don't wait on us. He will bring other people to take it and do it. And I'm just on here to really, you know, piggyback off of Sam, because, like I said, I've been able to meet him. We're coming to see you, too, out there in Tulsa, because I think the first experience we need to all do is make a pilgrimage ourselves to Tulsa and meet up with, of course, Joyce and Raheem or Raheem, those that are down in that area that literally are fighting to survive, because we have to, at this time, pool our resources together. We're making everybody rich with hair, nails, you know, clothes, food, and what are we doing? We don't own anything, and now we can own a piece of nothing else. We could actually own a piece of that real estate with Sam and his family, by coming in and pooling our fund resources together to start right there, because he's got some properties and got great value in it.
Well, I want to buy me a brick, Sister Woods. I want to get me a brick.
I know. Well, we better start stepping up because he can't wait on us to come to the table. You know, and I'm on here because he has not gotten to that point of asking for finances. But we need to have some finances. They can do it themselves. I'm just telling you. They can do it themselves, but they're opening that avenue up for us to come and join them and have a piece of Selma. And then once we get the blueprint there done in Selma, then we can go to D.C., we can go to Columbus, Georgia, we can go to other Black Belt Wall Street, whatever we want to call Black Wall Street communities. And when I was speaking earlier, I met with the the mayor of a town in Tennessee, and it's Black owned. The hardest part is that Ford is coming in, right? So back in 2014, when the first African-American mayor was elected in this small town in Mason, Tennessee, which is one of our Black Wall Street districts, so that's why I'm talking about it. And you can imagine they probably got real estate too, but can you imagine how at this point they have no money coming into that community and they were given a debt of $250,000, and now the comptroller, because Ford is trying to come and build work within their community, now they're trying to step in a white man, a Republican, to take over that city at that town.
Wow.
This is what's going on behind the scenes that we have to know about. We got a lot of Black districts and towns like Selma that are being lost at the hands of poor management. But as realtors, me and Sam can concur and tell you that there is no way that that debt should have passed when it, even in real estate, if the real estate was given into that there, and this is information that needs to be known on this call, that's what Black Wall Street was about. They bought, O.W. Gurley bought real estate. Then he invited in his friends to be partners in that real estate. Then he actually had, they had their own police station. They had their own churches. They had their own schools. They had their own banks. This is what we need to make a replica, and that's why Sam was sharing this, because he was able to get in there and pick up some prize pieces. And I'm telling you, as we walked through there that day, my eyes have seen the glory, as they say.
Yes.
And we got to meet and sit with some of the elite that I don't even know. It was a faith walk just going there. But to see and be in that town and see that there were stores still closed down. It was full, but it was like it was a ghost town. But they've been there 2 years. And now we're about to lose real estate because the prime property across the street from his, they just put a museum there, our museum, but it was white folks in the government. How much did they pay for that property over there?
They're putting in $25 million to develop that.
Okay. So you can imagine how much the real estate is about to go up. What Sam and his family and other his group and partners picked up, we're messing up because we didn't participate in that. So, but because he does have some prime real estate, and I'm on here to back him, because I'm bringing my investors to the table and I'm bringing my money, because I'm not going to let that opportunity to have my name on a brick, like you said, Sister Joyce, because right now and we got to get that up and going. We can't just have real estate sitting there, because then all the supplies will be bought up. I mean, it's a lot that goes into real estate. And I'm going to give this back to you, Sam, because this is your baby, but I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to share my experience, and it's giving it back to you. Thank you.
Well, we absolutely appreciate it, Sister. And just, you know, listen to the conversation. When you really sit down and you think about it, within our community, our diaspora, there are a lot of different thoughts and opinion of what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And I try not to get into those type of conversations. But I can attest to this, that if we want an educational system that is going to be stellar to teach our children the right way, it's going to take a lot of capital. If we want to have a community that is thriving, that does not have crime and some of the things and the images that we were talking about last week as far as psychological warfare on the psychic of the African-American community, We have to own and control the block. We have to create high-growth entrepreneurship in every facet to where we can support our sister, creating an educational emporium to where we can teach the next generation of leaders within our community the correct way so that we can have this pass on. There's not much more I can say about the opportunities. This is not about us. It's not about me. Okay? It's about we. It's we as African Americans, as a collective. We have to do better by working with the people that are ready. And as the sister spoke so eloquently earlier, we don't need to beg anybody. We need to get with the people that are ready to act now and do the things that we know that needs to be done. There is a lot that has to be done. In the last 2 years, we have traveled to over 40 African-American communities throughout the United States. And there is not a single community that we visited that was thriving where we saw cranes that had the flags of an African-American company, where we saw entire city blocks that were owned by African-Americans. I have not seen one African-American-owned fried chicken company that has more than 10 locations. I mean, think about that. Our community created fried chicken when the slaves were walking through the communities in the forest and the wilderness to preserve food so they have something to eat. And here we don't even have a daggone fried chicken franchise that we own and control. That's why we're losing the battle, is that all of our intellectual knowledge and our resources we've given away for pennies on the dollar.
Yes. Oh, let me look,
we have to stop doing that, and we have to recognize that, hey, when we look back to the past gives us a path to the future. The reason why we spend a lot of time researching W.E. Du Bois, Frederick Douglass, why we study Ronald Rollins, why we study Malcolm X, Dr. King,
Booker T.
Rosa Parks, Booker T. Washington. We study the greats because they have left clues of what we need to do. And with the clues that they left is that we absolutely have to work together.
Yes.
But the one clue, when I look at all of them, and it was no fault of their own, they did not understand the power of capitalism. And the reason why they didn't understand it, because they were denied access. They were denied access to own real estate. They were denied access to invest in Wall Street when Coca-Cola came about and an entire city in Georgia became multimillionaires.
And the railroad.
We were denied.
Yes.
We no longer have to be denied. If we work together, we create our own industries to where we can support one another. That's the type of community that I want to be a part of. That's the type of future I want to be a part of building. And I just enjoy talking with my African-American family, and I want to see us rising at the top in every sector, not just one, but everyone. The only way we can do that is by working together. And we have to get a plan that we can get behind a initiative, not 100, not 1,000. If it's not Selma, Alabama that you want to focus on, so be it. Let it be Tulsa. If it's not Tulsa and it's Elizabeth, North Carolina, so be it. As long as we focus on it together. Because if we do that, we create a blueprint that we can follow. So my brothers and sisters, I'm here to lend as much information as I can to give you a path forward, also to invest into industries that have not yet been born within our community. So I yield back, Sister Williams, and if anyone has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
We thank you very much, Brother Harris. And sisters and brothers, I don't know how much more we can say. And I keep saying how much I understand. But if it's some way that we can put some dollars together. Now, you had said, whether it's Elizabeth City or since you've already got the project going in Selma, and since Selma was the original nucleus of the Black Wall Street development, then let's just stay with Selma. And then as we look at what we're doing there and making our plans to reach out to other areas, then we can take on a new development. But let's right now, brother, I'm with you. I mean, I haven't been to Selma. But at the same time, if we've already started something there, why not continue it? That's another thing. Mm-hmm. We got to do some follow through.
Mm-hmm.
See, getting something started
absolutely
is wonderful.
Absolutely.
But what will the follow through look like? So let us not just, you know, say willy-nilly and get out. Honey, these other people who are coming in here, they're not playing. And like I had already predicted and said, they have deep pockets. And you know what else? They got some sponsorship. See, we didn't get the Party Acres and the Mule, but they got some. They have, I guarantee you, because they're not in the cages. They're not being covered up with a Mopar blanket. No. They're in homes, and they got rights to work, and they're being very well received. So while I'm not going into that. But while we're sitting here, you know, they were Sister Bernice, you were mentioning a while ago about people who do this and who do that. There are those who make things happen, and there are those who watch happen. So we're going to be a part of which we're going to get out here. We're going to make a pledge to be out here and be one of the ones who are going to help to make things happen. Because as Sister Woods has said, Brother Sam as well, it's not just for us. It's for our children and our children's children and their children's children's children. If we can go that far. But for right now, let's focus on what we can do to rally, to help Brother Sam with what he's doing with his buildings and how we can, and eventually, if possible. Because when you coming in buying 80 and 85 buildings at one time, guess what? And we try to get one or two.
I have a question.
I have a
couple of questions. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Sister Woods and Brother Harris, a couple of things. Now, Brother Harris, you mentioned education and the need for capital. Of course, we know that education rarely, if ever, is well-funded. However, even if you brought people to the table to decide what and how and when in terms of the proper education of our children, which is not going to happen because teachers just don't have that wealth of information to properly educate our children the way they should be. So to circumvent looking for the capital, as an educator, I know perfectly well that our children can be educated for free. They can be educated for free nationally, not to mention internationally, just by using YouTube. As my sister Joyce knows, I have curriculum upon curriculum for, what is it now, 40 years of Black History curriculum that can be placed free on YouTube. When our children come home from school, what are they doing? What are parents, as I said earlier, the parent is the first educator of our children. What are you allowing your children to do? Now, keep in mind, I taught middle school and mostly high school. There would be an entirely different approach for the little ones, but I certainly know how to approach the middle schoolers through high school. for free simply by letting the parents, after they have their little snack or wherever they are, maybe they have after-school care, go to the YouTube and learn your history for free while you're meeting with coffee and donuts and talking to people who are just going to have more coffee and donuts for the next 15, 20 years and still accomplish nothing. Send your children, and I don't mind setting up a curriculum that will teach our children for free. Now, I say that because there are two perspectives. I always teach Black history along with African American history. Unfortunately, another mindset out there is the only history for Black people in America and the diaspora, including the Caribbean islands, is what has happened to us since the diaspora. However, in order to teach Black children and in order to teach all children Black history, you have to start with Adam and Eve. You have to start thousands of years ago, and then you will gradually bring them up to our latest history, which is the diaspora. If you continue to teach the diaspora, you're teaching a lie, because you're telling the world that's our only history, and that's what the white man wants you to believe. You didn't have any history because until we brought you here, I had a history from Adam and Eve, and then I'll bring you up to 2022. Very few
That's so good. I'm working on the Wealth Academy. That's why how I connected with your sister Joyce, because we were doing Forex trading. Well, guess what? We can collaborate that, because now we have a teacher named Coach Max that's teaching it for free through the Trading Authority. And what we're wanting to do is create Wealth Academies, after-school programs, and mosques. We don't care as long as they have a building. And we can get the funding, because that money is still there from the No Child Left Behind. Matter of fact, Sister Joyce knows the name of the new program, because I asked her about it not too long ago. So God is really, Yah is bringing us together. And whoever your God is, Allah, he's just one God. That's what Allah means. And when I speak in that term, right here is the vein. See, knowledge is power. See, without faith is impossible to please. So guess what? Faith is knowledge. It's wanting to increase and become more. And we have to start with our young people. So that is something that I'm working on presently. I'm just not sharing but now I have to, because you're the vein. Your sister, Sister Waters, was my business major teacher in high school at Plainfield High School. That's how all of this came about, was Dr. Stone. And I've always been Black Wall Street, because my spiritual grandmother, she actually worked with Mason back in the early 1900s down in Tulsa with the religious movement. So history is important. I went to Lincoln University. I'm an alumni in Pennsylvania. I'm a five sister, small, you know, five baby. So we got to get our social, we're going to say our academic alumni, the Zetas, and we need to start bringing our social our fraternities and sororities together now, so we can now start building educational resource labs for our young African American. We can Black and brown. We can even include the Hispanic. But at this point, it's our community that's suffering. We're the ones, like you said, we need to be training up our children on how to be contractors, project managers, electricians, and we don't just want them to be handymen, but we want them to own the bank. We want to teach them how money operates. These kids come out of school, they don't even know life skills. We've got to have just what you were saying, sis, and put this stuff together. We cannot do no more talking. We need to meet. That's why I drove. I'm a foot soldier. I just was up in New Jersey with the R&B, because they part of history too. We got music, entertainment. You were just speaking on it. So I'm a foot soldier. I'm coming to Delaware. Matter of fact, I'll be speaking with Delaware tomorrow, you know, Ron Francois. So we're putting together a program that's going to be through the hip-hop organization, but we're actually going to be doing a health fair for bringing awareness to not only bone marrow transplants, but organ donations. We're the only ones that don't even know that that is important because we're the ones dying. Just like you said earlier, Sam, these people now, they already in planning meetings. In real estate, they have planning meetings. They plan every community. They know when a new company is coming in. And guess what? We sleeping. We better come together.
So let me make a comment on
like
so
the
so I want to make a comment on the
go ahead.
Make a comment on the education. Inherently, education is free everywhere because education is knowledge transfer. It's experience is transferred. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of experiences in our community that are being transferred from the grandmother, the grandfather, the auntie, the uncles within our community like we used to have, like from our neighbors.
Correct.
So we have to get back to teaching the basic fundamentals of how to be a good person, how to take care of your family, how to take care of your wife, how to take care of your husband, how to do the right thing. Because we can go to an educational platform using technology, but I tell you, it's nothing like reading a book from cover to cover so that your brain and your gray matter can get stirred up and your creativity kicks in. When we get onto these technology platforms, it only goes to a certain level because it's automatically using those lights that are coming at you, and it's automatically making your trick your brain and stimulate it in a way to where you can't be creative because they're going to be creative for you. When you go to the YouTube or the Netflix or those things, we have to get back to the basic fundamentals of how you teach and how you are able to transfer that knowledge. And one of the things that we have not seen for generations is seeing a carpenter teach another young person at age 12 or 13 how to be a carpenter or a framer, how to show somebody how to sew, how to farm, how to code, showing them, teaching them how to do it, not turning on the set or the little small screen. Education is paramount in any community that you can ever study since the beginning of civilization. We know how important it is. But when we are talking about education and we mention capitalism, I don't want people to get it twisted or get it confused. It's going to take money for us to do what needs to be done. At some point, you got to have a backbone or a system that is hosting the information. And unfortunately, in our community, we don't talk about capitalism in a way to how we can benefit ourselves. We talk about capitalism as if it's bad. If it was bad, all the people in the world would not be doing the things that they're doing. So we have to rethink, retool how we understand how money works. When we do that, any educational resource that we want, we'll own the platform. We don't have to go to YouTube. It'll be on your own platform. But the reason why it's on YouTube because we don't own it. They can shut you down at any point. They can turn your system off. But if you own the system, they can't turn you off. And the only reason that we don't own the system, we're relying on other people's platforms, making them wealthy again. Imagine if we had 10 million African-American kids on YouTube studying, learning about black history. Every time they view it, some advertiser's making money. You're not making it. YouTube's making it. Google's making it. So why not understand how capitalism works where we can take the intellectual knowledge that's being displayed here on this call tonight and make it work not only for us now, but so far in the future that the generations ahead of us that hadn't even been born will have an inheritance that can never be erased.
That's true. You know, I had a show for 12 years. I did it in the churches first called Reestablishing American Dreams. I started in 2010. It's now 12 years later. I had a podcast that I was doing with the Foursome D's for a couple of years. The problem is that the church is okay for them to ask for money, but it's not okay for us to come to our brother and sister because, you remember, people don't trust people in the black community. So that's where we got to, like our sister stated, We got to have these youth programs so we can start educating them so we can stop the gun violence. We've got to give them reasons why to love each other, why to stay together and grow together. Those are the things that we're not teaching, because when they get home, like she said, they're turning on their telephones, they're getting on TikTok, they're getting on social media, and their focus is so off. I'm dealing with four young ladies right now that are not my own. And I'm going to give it back to you, but I was just trying to state that there are people that are doing this. It's just we don't have enough of them. It don't matter if one person does it. So go ahead. I'm going to give it back to you.
I just wanted to say my
grandson, remember I told you they were in rehearsal? My grandson is now home from rehearsal. He says he can hop on for the remainder if we are still on. What do you guys think?
Well,
absolutely. You guys support him.
Well, we would love to hear, you know, what his side of it, because it's a wonderful thing that they're doing. I don't know if Courtney, she's probably gone, but
I'll tell him a yes, come on, and then if you have questions for him, make sure we do so. And I'm sending the text to him now so that he can know to get on and of course, sort of ask him, you know, what it's all about for him. Now, I did want to say, though, the Black News Channel, what do we think of letting them, because they love to hear things going on and the any new energies that are out there. And they are geared to the Black community and what's going on in the Black community, because you and I know that when you go to the regular channels, all they're telling you is who shot who and who has killed who or raped who or whatever. The Black News Channel, is that a source for us to let them know what we're doing? And what about outreaching to our entertainers, our athletes and so forth? Is that another avenue that we should be reaching out to? I know we're talking money, so I know that rather than getting into fashions and cars and stuff, they might be willing to help us in something that is this ground level.
Sister?
Can I share something on that? Because the news...
Let me just all of the above. I'm sorry, Sister Woods.
Billy is
the
on,
news
by
is
the
not
way.
Our friend. I'm just saying the Black news stations, because they get government funding and they get money to be quieted, they're
mm-hmm.
good resources to have to air things. But like if I could go back to this little town, Roland Martin actually aired this about maybe 7-8 months ago, and nobody's came in. What's $250,000 to save a whole town? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people, you know, I don't really care about what we put out here. Right now, we got to make a small strategic, like he said, movement. Let's get mm-hmm. us together, just the ones on this call, and let's come to a meeting where we can meet in person or we can do a Zoom. I'd rather meet in person because we don't own mm-hmm. Zoom, and that way we can literally what we call strategize a plan.
Well, maybe we can hear from Billy Swan now and see how he's looking at from the perspective of what he's doing with his career in the entertainment world.
Very good.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Swan, and welcome to the call. Will you share with us some of the, your background and what are you doing now, and some of the things that perhaps you've already, some of the projects you've already undertaken. So good evening, Mr. Swan. You have the floor.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Billy Swan. I am Brittany Swan's grandson, and I'm in the theater and dance world, and I've been doing that, I want to say, since I was like 9 years old. with just like finding and navigating my way and my passion through like a multitude of different like art stuff, from theater to dance to like visual arts and graphic design and everything. By the time that I got out of high school, I had made my the motions of going fully into dance as a career. So I went to I originally went to University of Delaware, and then I transferred to Towson University, which is just north of Baltimore. And for my 3 years there, I did nothing but dance, trained, and studied through my professors, who were all like professional dancers and choreographers. And so I learned everything there, like there could be known about proper dance technique through a multitude of different styles and stuff. And my found passion in choreography, once like that was presented in front of me, I found out how much I love creating in a number of different avenues, and body movement and choreography and dance was the main one that I like fell in love with right away. And I graduated in May of 2020, right at the beginning of the pandemic, so that was fun. With that, it was like just a very crazy time, obviously, for everybody. Everybody has their own experiences with it. Mine was no different. And coming back home and like getting back up on my feet and like replanning and regrouping my goals and my life, basically, I started dipping into what other passions move me when it comes to the performing arts, when it comes to theater, when it comes to expressing myself in any capacity. So dance was always there for me. Choreographing was always there for me, but I wanted to, I guess, push my comfort zones more. And I ended up seeing what passions lie if I wanted to find out more about filmmaking. What if I found out more about visual arts, going back into graphic design, because I studied graphic design in high school and I had my certification in it. So when I got into college, I like put it on the back burner because I had a whole bunch of other stuff I wanted to achieve. But during the pandemic, I was able to return to that, and it was there for me, and I like dove right back into it and fell in love with doing visual arts again, self-teaching myself photography and learning all there is to know about that, at least the basics of it, and then experimenting and discovering things along the way as my passions kind of unraveled themselves. Fast forward to this past fall, I got a job in New Jersey, which I currently work at now. And that's at the Paper Mill Playhouse, which is in Millburn, New Jersey. It's a regional theater, which is like 30, 40 minutes outside of Broadway, but we get the same audiences. And I'm on their marketing team, and I'm a part of their new fellowship program, but I'm also currently in charge of all the digital media creation and graphic design work on the marketing team there, which I find very exciting. And it allows me to discover more things that I'm passionate about and to learn about. And I always say that my biggest strength, or at least my biggest talent, is my ability to learn. And the fact that I have never stopped learning, just from the moment that I realized what the arts and what expressing myself in any way, shape, or form has done for me. So life has taken me through a whole bunch of twists and turns and detours and full circle moments, and this is just one of them, because my love for visual arts and filmmaking and photography kind of had their seeds already planted. And by the time that this job had popped up right in front of me, I was already set to say, yes, I'm ready for those next steps. And yeah, I'm very, very happy with my current situation and how far I've come in just letting life guide me to where I feel the most fulfilled.
Outstanding,
yeah.
Outstanding. Mr. Swan, I just want to just say thank you for sharing your passion, your story, and you are our future. My name is Sam Harris. I'm a developer. We're building a hotel development. And as you're speaking, I was thinking of the Nicholas Brothers. Do you know the Nicholas Brothers?
I do.
Okay. So the Nicholas Brothers were born in Alabama, in Mobile, and they set the world on fire with art and dance. And in our hotel facility, we want to bring a dinner show with someone of your talent and caliber. We will be watching you because you might be able to help us with that for our hotel. So congratulations on what you're doing. We'll support you every way that we can. And dream big and let anyone tell you that you can't do something. We're so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and I'd
definitely
like to follow up with what Mr. Harris just said, and I can call him Billy because this is my nephew. But Billy, we had a person on earlier who is also producing a play or performing in a performance that's going to be in Milford, Delaware, on May 7th. And I don't know if they could give you some key points or not, but it will hurt to join us next week when they're going to have their some of their movers and shakers on the call, hopefully. Producer as well as director and maybe their marketing person. And let's just, you know, as one of the things that we do on here that my brother promotes is networking. So we're going to, hopefully you'll be able to join us and be in between your rehearsals as they are also rehearsing. But maybe we can all get together and you'll get some pointers from them and they'll get some pointers from you because your background is vast. And that's what it's all about. Being able to go from one to another and never lose your you see what I'm saying? So baby, you keep up the good work. But I don't have to tell you because I know who your grandmom is.
I
think we have another question for Billy. I'm sorry, Mr. Harris,
is
that you or someone else?
Yeah, the question that I have for Mr. Watt, do you know how to tap dance?
I know how to tap dance. Do I consider myself a tap dancer? Not exactly, but I do know my way around a tap shoe.
Okay.
Sam,
I want to say.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to just congratulate the young man. And I have some young ladies that actually, they performed on Broadway. That if we could next week, I'll see if I could reach out to Deidre Lane. She's from Plainfield, New Jersey, also with the paper mill. the theater he's at is not far from Plainfield. So I know I know exactly where it's located because we used to go there as children. So I'm definitely super excited that I was able to get on this call again because it's a lot of good information, and we definitely want to support Ms. Waters' nephew, even though she's gone on to glory, and Ms. Joyce says, you know, we just appreciate everybody. Ms. Swan, thank you so much for all your you're just, I can't even really say a whole lot right now. I'm just real full. I don't know if you've ever been in that place in your life where you're in such a transition, but you're still trying to smile. So, you know, it don't matter how much you've gone through because you went through the pandemic. You had to go through where the world shut down, and you still had to stay tenacious enough to stay focused in a time when even down to you could have got discouraged because the season of entertainment shut down, you know, especially for African-Americans. Because like I said, Deidre Lay, a little of her history, she actually was one of the first and original and last Fly Girl, but she also performed Broadway on Lion King. Her husband still performs for Lion King on Broadway. Of course, you know, they travel. And then she also did the House School of Rock. So I'm going to see about getting her on. And then Amika, she's actually danced with Alvin Alley. And then she's been on Broadway, of course, and a few known. I just, you know, I'm not going to say a resume right now. Let her share it next week. But she also is a backup singer for Casey and the Sunshine Band. And what they're doing is they actually are working with and started a school for artists and entertainers. So I would love to connect you both because not only are you our future, they're older now. You know, they're not looking to really do anything but leave legacy. And you're considered our legacy. And whatever we can do to support you, like I said, God has a good plan and purpose for your life. Because you went through something that most people your age could have been like, oh, my God, my whole world shut down. I went to school for nothing. You could have thought that way. But you hung in there, and you stay focused, which follow one course into successful and focused. So ending this thing with you, Sam says, stay focused, everybody, to the plan that's in front of us. Let's get one thing done at a time. But you're very important to this key. And, Sam, that's an awesome blessing to open that door for this young man to come there. And, Selma, I'm in Atlanta. We got New Jersey, Vegas, all over that you're going to be traveling the world and nations. And on behalf of Black Belt, Black Wall Street, you are our baby. So if anybody going to get it, you're going to get it. So thank you so much for sharing your story, your testimony, and we look forward to just a prosperous future for you and your dreams.
And I just want to say, and on behalf of my grandson, he is very modest. He is very modest. But he, as a matter of fact, I believe it was maybe his performance at his school for graduation, he decided to do tap with his partner. And they got standing ovations. So Billy holds back on just how awesome he is with his talent. And that's good. Modesty is a virtue. And also he worked, I think, at least two summers with the Alvin Ailey a summer program for the disadvantaged children there in Baltimore. So his is quite outstanding, but he'll share more and more and more about that.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Sister Swan, I wanted to thank you for raising an amazing grandson. He's a future leader, and if you have the opportunity to get us his resume, we're very interested in doing a dinner show for our hotel. So that's something that we're working on, and just to hear his talent and know the type of background that he came from, we would love to work with him.
Billy will forward that to you. He'll be more than happy to work directly with you on that, I know. I know his schedule is very busy, but he multitasks very well. He's learned that from his grandmom. And, of course, being here with me while that was the COVID situation going on, I write all of the time. I have many plays. I even have my own complete book of different kinds of genre that I've done. So he was in the right household to just continue. And see, the Lord works, as we know, in wonderful ways. So while we had the COVID, that allowed him to go into his talents extensively, and now they're paying off.
Amen.
Outstanding.
That's all very, very, very wonderful. And ladies and gentlemen, we have really gotten some. But I hear the. I'm looking at your comments. If you can hear me, I do appreciate each of you guys for being on this show tonight. And I suppose we should continue. Brother Bilal or Brother Aziz, have you joined us?
Just finished dinner, sis. And I did hear my nephew. I want to congratulate him. And I need him to come on and participate more. But brothers and sisters, this is what I mean about becoming a vested community, a financial vested community. When it comes to entertaining and talent, white folks steal that from us. They imitate us. They do everything we do, even down to trying to look like us. But again, it goes to show if we would keep that type of business and invest in our young folks like my nephew that you just heard from, and like Brother Sam is telling you, we just need to own. We need to own all of our talents. We need to own all of our trades. We need to build our black community. Get out of that white community. Leave them alone and go back to building our own black community like Brother Harris and them are doing down in Selma, Alabama. So, again, yes, I came on late. I had a wonderful meal after fasting all day. But, Billy, I'm so proud of you. And but like I said, Billy is an extension of our family. And like you said, that there's never, I hate to brag on my own family, but I remember when we was coming up during the time of segregation. And but our families, we didn't have radios and TVs. But my goodness, the entertainment that you had going on in our families was very, very rich. And and it just goes to show all of our families are like that. We are a very rich community, brothers and sisters, but we got to bring our funds, and including all the monies that we put into these churches. All of those monies has got to stay in our community. Of trillions of dollars we put into other communities. But like Brother Sam said, we are an extremely rich community, but we got to bring it back to the black community. And I don't know if Brother Aziz has finished his meal.
I'm on there, Brother. I'm on, Brother Bilal.
Brother Aziz, but I'm saying we're so proud of you guys for carrying on for us this month, and I look forward to you guys continuing, because during the time where we're fasting, we wouldn't be very entertaining, and we wouldn't have the energy that we're hearing from our. But you guys, it just goes to show that the 7 years of hard work that Brother and Aziz have been going through is paying off. So again, become vested now in your communities, because your investment is going to pay off in healthcare. Look at, like I said, my nephew, look at how many of our young folks and the talents that they have that you see as being exploited by others, and they're making trillions of dollars off trying to imitate us. So again, bring it back to our communities. Brother Sam, Brother Aziz, I'm going to turn it over to you. And we got about 15 or 20 minutes, but like I said to all of our audience, I'm proud of all of you. And we're looking forward to continuing our network marketing and business identification, and that includes all of you, and tell others we're going to expand this show, where we'll be able to bring on a larger capacity. Right there, I'm looking at our capacity. We're completely full. We can hold 350 vocally. Internet, we can hold as many as we want to. But the 350, I can tell you, before the show started, you guys had this show filled up. So it goes to show that our channels of communication is not the biggest, but it is a channel of communication that we have going, and we can see the value of it. So, again, I will say we need your memberships, but I'm going to turn it over to Brother Isaiah, and he can tell you more about that.
Thank you, Brother Bilal, and greetings to everyone. Assalamu alaikum, and I want to thank Sister Joyce for carrying the program, Sister Bernice, Brother Sam, Queen Esther Brown, and Billy, young Billy, the entertainer, for coming on our show and contributing. But I just wanted to say one thing that's so important. The people we have on the show today, you guys are really an asset to the African-American community, honestly. The information that Ms. Woods, Brother Sam, Sister Bernice puts out, Sister Joyce, I mean, this information, you can't buy it nowhere like that. The honesty, the sincereness of the efforts that you people have put into getting this information to us. This information is valuable. Everybody in our community should know about this, especially situations like what Brother Sam was bringing up that was going on down in Alabama. And, you know, people coming down buying 75 homes. I listened to the program, like Brother Bilal said. I had it on a loudspeaker while my stomach was grumbling and feeling these hunger pains, but I could not listen to what everyone had to say. And I want to tell you that I pray that Almighty God continue to bless you guys to be able to get this information, share this information with us. And I clearly see what my job is, to try to bring as many people as I can to Brother Bilal and our show so that they can hear the information that you have to share, because what you shared tonight was what I was talking about psychological warfare. You guys put information out there today to encourage African-Americans that was listening to the show that there's hope out there, that we can still do things. There are people doing things out there that's moving our community ahead in big blocks and big leaps and bounds, and that's you guys. Just what you were talking about today is part of what I was talking about, that psychological warfare. And I'm glad, Sister Bernice, I heard you give me, you know, say that I brought up a good fact there. And it is important, because we don't think that psychology has anything to do with why we put monies into African-Americans that's trying to do something, or why we don't. Because we know there's been these innuendos all along. I don't trust so-and-so. I ain't putting my money with no ends. Ain't going to take me nowhere. And this is us talking about one another, not wanting to do with one another, because you say, you can't give a nigga no business of this and that, because they're going to take your money and run for you, and then they ain't going to come back. That's not true. That's not true at all. That happens to some people, but not all of us. There are good people out there, like my family, basically, where I come up, and none of my brothers and none of my relatives took after my relatives. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, my uncles, they were brick masons, they were carpenters, and my father, even though he was a 22-year veteran in the military, he was a plumber. He had a master's plumber's license. We'd work with him on the summer, but never took the trade up. None of my brothers either. None of us took those trades up. We wanted to get away from doing some labor work, and I guess that's from doing that work out in the fields and stuff like that. And as Brother Sam say, we need to have people going back today teaching those trades like they did at Tuskegee. Every everything that's at Tuskegee College. The only thing that the African-Americans got, and a lot of people don't know this, Tuskegee College, everything you see there, the African-Americans, they built that by hand. The white man, the only thing they gave him was the land grant. The lumber, the timbers, the bricks, the nails, all of that, they made. That is a fact. They made it. So, again, I just want to thank all of y'all for what you've done. I'm not going to take up much more time because I'm overwhelmed. Whether y'all know it or not, I was eating and taking notes. I'm one of your students. And I thank all of y'all for everything you give. Yes.
Brother Aziz, you just inspired me so much last week, as I said when I was making my presentation, when you talked about that psychological warfare and how it's impacting our community. So you know what? Today, just for the heck of it, I did a thing on commercials, and it was how I wanted to see how the black relationship, male-female relationship is viewed. So I looked at commercials, and look what I found. Of course, you know, when I made the presentation, I said our village or community is not the same as the village and community used to be. So look what I found just in doing TV commercials. The black male with the black female, I found three examples of it. The black male with the white female, I found five examples of it. The black female with the white male, I found one. The black male with light-skinned females only, seven. The single black female, seven. The single black male, three. The black male parent with a white offspring, two. The black female parent with white offspring, none. The single black male parent with black offspring, two. The single black female parent with black offspring, two. The black parent couple, four. The white parent couple, four. And so all of that is going to impact how the new community is going to look versus what my brother has talked about with what we grew up with, the black community. But I just wanted to share that was just in looking at a few commercials today.
All right.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kim. I had a quick question. Early on, you guys were talking about economics. I was just wondering, did anyone hear about this project going on in, I think it's Saginaw, Michigan, where this land and it's real bad neighborhood is for sale, like $300. It's wanted like the price of $300 because everybody has abandoned that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, we haven't heard about it. No. Can you share?
Actually, we're familiar with the land, and the challenge is that there is no infrastructure that's in place to where if you did buy that property, what assets do you have that can allow it to be a good investment? So is it something for the future? Possibly. We have to look at all the yes, we've heard about that. I was just out in Grand Rapids, Michigan, so I wasn't too far from where you're talking about. But there's anything that you want to know about any property in the United States, if you go to our website, which is samgenrealty.com, just put in a request, and if you need information, we'll make sure we get it to you.
Okay, because I was saying I have somebody I know that lived on it, and she called me, and she was telling me it was going like $300. So I'm like, $300? Somebody to be trying to buy that old that whole dynamic, that structure.
Yeah, it's
my brother bought some up. It's very cheap, so I'm just trying to make sure that you guys are aware of what's going on. So, I mean, why we can't buy all that up and make it our own a city and people move there.
Absolutely.
And bring in jobs. So that's good.
Excellent point.
We touched upon that. We touched upon that last week, and Sam, I thank you so much for the feedback you gave me on that, because we don't want another Tulsa and all of those other communities where as soon as you start developing, here you have people who also have their plans to make sure it doesn't happen. And Sam, you were very helpful with me on that. We can pursue that avenue again next week as we talk about.
Okay.
Not and I have a gentleman I'm going to invite on the call
again.
Next week.
It's
banging
up down there too. Yeah.
I will. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I want to be an invited gentleman on the call next week. He's actually, oh my God, he's got so much knowledge. I think he will connect with you very well, Sam. And because we're talking about doing pop-up cities, and we're talking about simultaneous closings and all over, but we have plans and development meetings to strategically, but these are strategic strategies for Verizon. So Verizon is one of the largest, I didn't know, outlets out there phone-wise. They bought up a lot of the ground cables. So I would like, going to bring him on. He works very close with the state directors up in New York, Mount Vernon area. And we're definitely, if that land is $300, can you give me the number? Because I'm going to go ahead and get it. I will buy it today.
But that's why I'm telling you guys, I'm going to get more information. I'll definitely let you know because I'm just want to get some too, but I wouldn't want to be down there by myself because, you know, it's a scary place. You know, the
you gotta remember, we're buying like the Asian people and we're holding. I lived in Vegas and I met the lady who owns stock in the Venetian, okay? So they didn't just mm-hmm. have the Venetian overnight. That means they started it. So this is an Asian yeah. lady. So we got to be proactive. When you hear about stuff like this, can you call my number? It's 346-970-0131.
Well, that's why I'm on today, darling. I don't be
tomorrow.
On every day. I don't be on every day. So I don't be on every day every
no.
time y'all have the meeting. So when I know something, I'll definitely
number,
put it out there.
I'm saying, if you could take
okay,
down
what's
my
your number?
Number, it's area code 346-970-0131. No. As real as
346-970-0131.
I will buy that tomorrow, and we will talk about it later. To see, I'm not going to let anything go to waste like that. I don't care if it may not look like anything, and that's why they're doing that. But I promise you, if we don't get it, they will, and they'll create things
that's
around.
Sure.
That's what we got to do. So if you can call me, my name is Queen Ella Woods, and I'm going to turn the call back over to Brother Bynum or Sister George because she was running the call. Thank you.
Yes, and I want my sister to close out, but just before we do, let me say, we are the Black Belt Wall Street New Africa Business Association. In other words, brothers and sisters, we're talking about doing things as a business group. If we get into this I thing, that's where it's going to go. But our slogan is what one can do, the many of us can. So I say let's start dealing with the many. And like the sister say, that investment in that town, but every black town in this country needs development. And every black town in this country is affordable because we're developed. So again, the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, that's the way we're going anyway. So I suggest you come on every week, keep on networking with each other, but let's become vested together through the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. Sister Williams, did you have anything in close? Okay, in that case, brothers and sisters, next week, you guys still have the floor. We'll still be fasting. Rabban Ankh Bibar, Assalamu Alaikum.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, Which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you held your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. I say now people must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?